This morning's scripture reading will be Isaiah 61, 1. Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you mothers. First, I would like to tell you that this is not going to be a Mother's Day talk. I started that way and just couldn't get it to put together the way I wanted it. So it's not going to be a Mother's Day talk. Thank you to mothers. Mine is not here, but somewhere I'll be thanking her tonight, I'm sure. So, in this world, we live in a very fragile world. It's a place where you are on top of the heap one day and you can be at the very bottom of the pile the next. The world is a place where breaking something will always be easier than fixing it. And this is coming from somebody who has the ability to break and very little ability to fix. So, knowledgeable on the subject. We often try to understand what God gives us, or the complications of this world thrown at us, we often try to understand why God has allowed this to happen. Why did God do this? You know, when we had the waters flowing, why was the flood allowed to happen? Well, we all know in this room, and I know I've said it before, God does not tempt us. God does not put those temptations before you. The temptations that you feel are from in you. These are the things that come from you. They are not from God, they are from you. So as these temptations come forward, God gives you the ability to say yes or no. Easy choice, right? Probably not. We always say, why doesn't God fix it? You're part of the Red Sea, how come he can't pull back the Mississippi River a little bit so that my customers can have their restaurants open? God doesn't do that. The things that come to us are given us. Eventually these things are given to us that we may learn to deal. We may learn to be part of the Christian life. The reasons things aren't fixed or addressed right away are often God's thoughts only. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Are we commanded in this life, as Christians by our Lord and Father, to walk the earth and discuss our problems? And talk about every negative situation that can possibly address, are we told or commanded in any place to walk around and spread that? I'm not getting any head nods or anything. So obviously the answer would be no. Does that mean you cannot use the brethren to fall on in this church for help? No. It simply means when we are to be out in the world, we are supposed to be a light for Christ. A light. Something that shines. Something that is drawn to. People are drawn to a light. Very few run to darkness unless they are hiding. We are to share with one another, to let go of those things that we need help with within this church. People sitting next to you, people sitting in front of you, behind, are here to help you through your troubles. Oftentimes you are not able to keep the problems in. A lot of us, and I don't think I'm one of these, but a lot of people, one particular I can think of in my family, wears his heart on his sleeve. You know where he is during the day at all times. If he's smiling, he's happy. You know, if he's frowning, he's upset. I'd be talking about my son Jake. You know, it's a very easy thing to read Jake because he's either happy, mad, or in the middle, and, you know, there it is. It's all out on his face. With myself, I know I do this, and you know, part of the rest of my life, you can't always tell what's going on. I just don't let it all go. The Lord is here to help us. In Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. God is there to catch you when you believe. He's not there to stop you from falling. God is there to give you the desire to get back up when you fall. Everyone, at some point along this birth to death, will fall. The only difference between somebody that is in the church that has a belief in God is that once they fall, and look around to make sure nobody saw them, they'll stand right back up and pray that God will help them along the rest of the journey. In a book I've been reading, it says, instead of worrying about the size of your troubles, tell your troubles about the size of your God. And he said, and worried about how to climb a mountain and how big the mountain is, tell the mountain how big God is. Because in the Bible we read, the faith of a mustard seed will move a mountain. A mustard seed. Very small. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You need to take up the strength that you were given from God. Take up the love that you are given from God and carry it with you. We're commanded to have strength of faith. Faith is things hoped for, not seen. Strength of faith at all, or faith at all times. In Luke 18:27, he said, though things which are impossible with man are possible with God. So that belief and that strength is often what carries you from one place to another. The faith that we gain on the times we spend together, on the times we spend as a group, the time with our families, the time that we read the Bible, the time that we study about his word, those are the times where it builds up that strength, gives you that power. The thing you can give, I can give as an easy example would be dehydration. You can go for days and weeks without eating. In a week without water, you will be dead. Dehydration will kill you. Lack of spirit and faith will certainly take you to your doom. Easiest thing to say. If you want to put the room as being here in church and studying, take it as spiritual Gatorade. However you want to do it, that's the way to describe it. This is the thing that rehydrates you, that builds you back up, that strengthens you for the rest of your week, the rest of your dealing with people that are outside the church, that are not worried of your feelings or your cares. It's there to build you up. We are to hold God's love confidently in front of us. Here's where a lot of struggles come in. And this is a lot of struggles I deal with myself. The people that I deal with on a daily basis are not people in this church, are not people in this room. Some of them are very unhappy to see me. Some of them aren't much happier when I leave. All right? But that is the thing that you have to hold in your heart. We were talking on Friday night about how sometimes you are worried if someone doesn't like you. Okay? I would say that in this room, that would concern me a great deal. It really would. And I might not give you that impression when we speak, but that would concern me. All right? To be outside the world, not everything I do is going to make them happy. I feel it's my job and my mission to be part of the family here and to make sure that there's no trouble from my end of it. Does that mean that maybe someone out here won't be upset with me from time to time? Probably not. If you spend any time with me, I'm going to upset you at some point. All right? Ask my wife. I'm going to. And you know, a lot of time that's because my mouth will run before my brain kicks in. And it does that. But if that happens, I ask you and I beg you, please come talk to me. Don't just let it go. All right, it could be right after service, during a hymn. I don't care. Come on, just, you know. I take it. I just don't want to offend anyone, and I do would never do it purposely. But if I do, you need to come talk to me about it. Don't let it rot and fester. And if you have something among you in the church, not including me, including someone else, don't let that go. You're not doing anyone a favor. It's just going to get worse. Because the longer you stew on things, the longer you make these problems that may start here, in 6 months they're going to be here. Don't let that go. And we're commanded not to. Find the person that you feel you've wronged or that feels wronged you. Let them know. Could be not on purpose. You know? Maybe they have the same problem I have. His mouth just, there it goes. Okay? In Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Speak the word of God that you have been given. The best fight in this world through the week, through the day, is to recite a portion of Scripture that means something to you. These are things that can happen by yourself, in a group. It's something that you can do. And it's there for you at any point. I can't memorize anything except numbers. If you can memorize, awesome. If you can't, write it down. Put a little piece of paper in your wallet with something you need that you can pull out during the day when it gets tough and when it gets cruddy, and read it so that you're uplifted, so that you can make it through the rest of the day and not commit sin. Because I'll tell you what, from this point of view, when I'm confronted, and I've talked about it before, I'm not backing up. The first thing in me is to go forward. And when confronted and pushed a little bit, it's hard for me to just step back and let them go. Not in me. In any form. You know, we're now in a business situation. There's a lot of confrontation that happens in sales. Maybe you know that or you don't know that. But there's a little bit of confrontation. And we also collect money, which really makes you loved by society. Let me tell you that one. All right? So in those, sometimes people just need to get it out. And the hardest thing for me as I began this whole thing was to not attack back, but to let them just get out of it and then we can go on. Because sometimes they just need to let it go, and once it's all gone, and blown past my head, then we're okay and we can go forward. Speak the word that God had given to you. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. All through life, there are speakers that will come up, and I went to one a few years ago. Downtown is a positivity thing, and some of it was very good. It was a good day spent. There were a lot of great speakers. I mean, it's people that really, really know what they're doing, and they can get up there in front of you and really, really build you up. That's what they're supposed to do. Okay, they make their living doing that. A motivator. But one of the main things as I've gone through all this stuff, and these are from sales tapes and personal growth tapes and books and, you know, the things I listen to when I'm in the car during the day, everything tells you that if you have a goal to speak it out loud, say it. Not hold it in, not think it in your mind, say it out loud. A lot of people will tell you to write it down and then speak it. Because writing it down makes it permanent. Saying it out loud brings it to reality. How many of you in the morning stand up out of bed and say, I am going to have a great day? Not me. Not even once. I am not a morning person. I need 15 minutes by myself in a chair with coffee. All right? That's what I need when I wake up. After that, can I say it? Yes. If you wake up and can do that, there was there was a talk one time given by Marvin Ingle, where he had not yet gotten out of bed and woke up and broke into song. Okay, started singing a hymn. His wife joined in. Again, not something that will happen at my house. And not because I wouldn't sing, but I don't think my wife would join in. I truly think I'm going to, get one of these. But that being said, that's how he started his day. And I'm sure that day for Marvin really went well. And obviously that stuck with me for, it's been years since he gave that talk. And that has stuck with me since then. Saying out loud will bring it to reality, brings it to your soul. When we come forward, when we become part of the church, we confess out loud our belief in Jesus Christ. To join this church, to be baptized, and to be saved. We say it out loud. The reason we say it out loud is, one, everyone hears it. Two, is that is for you, because you have come forward and you have said it out loud. This is my faith. Here I stand. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Give the blessing aloud. When you say your prayers, I think it's good for your kids to hear you pray. It's good for your kids to hear their siblings pray. All right? Right now, I'm in the middle part where I have a youngest daughter that loves to pray. She can't wait to step onto the stage. Woo-hoo! Here it is. She loves it. My son and my oldest daughter really don't care right now to give the blessing. Does that mean they won't? No, they do it when we ask them. But it's not a thing that jumping up to do. To say a prayer, to confess your faith out loud, is part of life that cannot be changed. That is something that will stay with you, something that you can do. The things you say in this life affect everyone around you. And that is the truth. If someone looks up to you that you don't know about and they see you somewhere doing something you shouldn't, how does that affect them? A lot of times that'll take them away. And that's too bad. All right, that's really a tragedy, because that's someone maybe we've lost. You always hope to bring them back, but maybe we've lost them. I, once again, have that problem of the mouth running before the brain. That gets me into a lot of trouble. Because not everything that comes out of this mouth should. And I pray and I struggle and I hope that as I pray I'm forgiven, and I know I'm forgiven. But I always ask for strength as I do that, that I control what comes out of this mouth and that the brain will kick in first. Margaret, that used to attend here one time, said that flowers should be for the living. What she meant by that was that if you give someone a compliment, if you think something in your heart that will make someone feel good and it's the truth, tell them. Don't wait. We could leave today and it all be over. Don't wait. Maybe that step that you just took will mean enough to them that it'll lift them or bring them to God. You know, I remember this too. When Margaret was talking to me, it was because Larry George, I was talking about him stopping on the side of the road to help somebody. Okay, the man would just stop. Didn't care about situation, didn't take it upon personal safety or anything else. The man just stopped and helped somebody on the road if they were stuck. Okay, I don't do that. I travel all the time. I'm 5-6 hours a day in the car, back and forth. And there are places where I think to myself, that doesn't look good. Okay, this was not Larry George's thing. He didn't care. He'd stop. His theory was that Christ would protect him, and if it was his time to go, then so be it. And he told me a few times like that in class back there. But Margaret's thought was, she said, those are such things that you need to bring forward. If there's someone in this room that has done something for you that's really brought you closer to Christ or brought you anywhere in that you said, man, that just made me feel good, You know, if as long as it's the truth and it's coming out the right way, fantastic. Don't hold those things back. Give them up. When we're talking to our children, sometimes kids need discipline. Yes, they do. Sometimes that discipline is not coming from a good place, and they really need discipline. At the end, and this was something that I've always done, we've given spankings. Those of you that don't agree with that or do agree with that, I'm sorry either way, but that's how we raise our kids. All right? We've given those. As hard as it might have been, and truly, sometimes the spankings I really wanted to give them, I'll tell you. And Marvin also said one time that if they're asking for it that bad, it's a shame not to give it to them. Okay? He said it up here on this pulpit. After that, you hug them. You tell them you love them and why you spanked them. And that sometimes put things into perspective. There were times that I was mad enough I had to leave and had to make my wife do it because I could not. Because I was ticked. All right? Those are the times when you work together as a team. That's how that's supposed to be. All right? But you can't cover a cloth in dirt and expect it to be lifted up clean. So if you aren't praising your children in something they do or giving them a blessing that you love them, telling them that you love them, I love you. Okay? If you didn't know it, I love you. I hope they knew. And I don't think it shocked them. All right? But you need to tell your kids that. You're not doing them any good by looking at your kids grown or small and not telling them you love them. You're not doing your wife or your husband any good by looking them in the face day after day and not telling them you love them. Three words. Three words with people you're supposed to care about and protect and take care of. Easy, right? Should be. I think in Mark's talk, he always talked about going to bed one night. He always says he loves you before he goes to sleep. And he said some nights it's, I love you. Okay? That I remember. You know, it's important. And it's important that it's out there. Those are three words that need to be said. And maybe you feel it's said too much. I don't know. To someone that's special to you and someone you care about, it's not said too much. Your children are never going to be loved enough, and they're never going to feel safe enough with you or loved enough with you that you need to stop saying that. Not ever. You know, I'm 40 years old now, and my dad told me that when we went to a basketball game. Getting to me a little. It was awesome. All right? Something that's very special, and that is very endearing, and that was needed to be said. That was a big deal to me. Don't wait for occasions. Don't wait for special times. Tell them now. Tell that person you think of now. Don't wait until the special occasion. Don't wait until Mother's Day to tell your mom you love them. Tell them now. Tell them tomorrow. After Mother's Day. There's something neat. Tell them again. In Ephesians 6:13 it says, Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. We are to stand and fight the good fight. Because if you are on your two feet, you are braced against the world. You are standing ready for anything that comes to you. In a sitting position, you're already on your back. To stand, you are standing ready, facing the world, and going forward with your Christian beliefs and taking it where it needs to go. If you are a Christian in this room, and I hope you are, stand in that position as a Christian and let people know you are a Christian. When you walk into a room and people are just throwing the swears out left and right, it is not wrong to say, please stop that. I don't like it. And if they ask you why, which they will, tell them. All right? Tell them. There are words in the English language that are just repulsive. Absolutely repulsive. Some of them are used over and over and over and over and over. Is it wrong to say that you don't want to hear that? No, it's not wrong to say you don't want to hear that. No, it's not wrong to tell them why you don't want to hear that. But it is the hardest thing to do is to tell somebody out of this room, you know what? God never gave me that word in the Bible, and I don't think it needs to be used. Okay? There's simple truth. That's not hard. Doesn't sound very hard. It is hard. It's a hard thing to stand up and do for anyone. Little kid, now, you know, somebody's not going to call me on the phone and talk to me like that. They're not going to talk to me that way to my face either. So I'm past that point now. And I'm going to come forward and say it. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things of the earth. A lot of times we get mired in what happens here, don't we? Our day-to-day stuff. This is a problem for me. Because a lot of times I bring my work, I say I don't, but I bring my work home. All right, and a lot of the things I deal with during the day aren't so great. There's nothing my family's done. It's nothing beyond that. I just don't know how to get rid of it until I get there. And sadly enough, sometimes they're the ones that deal with it while I'm getting rid of it. As much as possible, and I've started this recently. I don't know if it's working. Maybe you can ask them after service. I am trying to rid myself of work before I come home. A lot of times I got a nice long drive. And as long as I can kill the phone for a half hour, I'm in good shape. Because there are things on this earth that will take you down, and they will take you to the place you don't want to be. Because I'm right here. If no one has said it before to you, I'm here to tell you that there is a hell. I hope you all know that. Because there is. A lot of the outside world and the places you go, they won't talk about it. There's a hell. All right, and it's bad beyond belief. I always think back to wailing and gnashing of teeth. All right, that's nasty. It's going to be miserable. For those that are there, it is going to be as it's described. There is a hell and it is bad. We are here today to go be with Christ. Not to go down to hell. And if you are acting as Christ, and Christ would have you act, that is the direction we'll head. We are here to stand as a believer in Christ, carry his position with us, and go on. In the Bible there, it talks about a right hand and a left hand of God. The one thing you can always remember about hell and when Christ comes down to visit us, is that if you need to get right or you will be left. Because if you will be left, that is not going to be a good thing. Now, that being said, since we know there's a hell, isn't it so much better to look to God, praise Him, act as He does, the old what would Jesus do still holds pretty strong. When you think to go forward, before you make those actions, before your mouth opens and something comes out of it that it's not supposed to, before you blah and let it all go, remember, Christ is there for you. He will be there to hold you and help you back up when you fall. Remember to pray without ceasing. That means asking for Him to give you strength. Accepting that strength. Accepting that forgiveness. That you can come forward as a Christian. As someone that deserves the love of God. Now before we sing the last hymn, we always offer a gospel invitation. If you'd like to be a part of the church, if you need something that we can help you with. And once again, I was talking about that before, but come forward. Ask the help of the church. If you don't want to come forward and do it, ask the help of those around you at some point. Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Please remember that as we stand and sing the last hymn.